radioalburn.com.
Mischief and mayhem and songs to be sung.
it's hard to be a Jew on Christmas. My friends won't let me join in any games, and I can't sing Christmas songs or decorate a Christmas tree or leave water out for Rudolph, 'cause there's something wrong with me. My people don't believe in Jesus Christ's divinity. I'm a Jew, a lonely Jew on Christmas. Hanukkah is nice, but why is it that Santa passes over my house every year? And instead of eating ham, I have to eat kosher latkes. Instead of Silent Night, I'm singing Hu Hakdo Kavish. And what the fuck is a lonely Jew? I can't be merry, 'cause I'm Hebrew on Christmas.
Hey little boy, I couldn't help but hear you're feeling left out of Christmas cheer. I've come to say that you shouldn't be sad. This is the one month that you should be glad. 'Cause it's nice to be a Jew on Christmas. You don't have to deal with the season at all. You don't have to be on your best behavior or give to charity. You don't have to go to grandma's house with your alcoholic family.
And I don't have to sit on some fake Santa's lap and have him breathe his stinky breath on me.
That's right, you're a Jew.
A styling Jew.
It's a good time
to be Hebrew on Christmas.
Some time ago at Santa's place, up in the old North Pole, there lived a lump of anthracite whose parents called him Joel. Joel, Joel, the lump of coal, happy as a lump can be. He just wants to keep Santa warm and make the elves cozy. But Santa Claus had other plans for Joel one fateful day. Joel, you're just the lump I need. Come join me all night away. Joel, Joel, the lump of coal, his heart leapt out for joy. I'll soon be Santa's present too, a lucky girl boy. We'll laugh and play together, and we'll hold each other tight. We'll snuggle in the clean white sheets when we go to sleep at night. And Santa's eyes are laughing too. You're in for a surprise. You're not a special Christmas gift, you're just a booby prize. What kid would ever want you? You're filthy as can be. And now you have to go and live with one who's been naughty. But I make heat, pour dough cried in electricity. You pollute the air with CO2 and mercury. Joel, Joel, the lump of coal fell down upon his knees. I don't want to live with a naughty kid, don't make me Santa, please. But Santa laughed his jolly laugh.
Ho, ho, you stupid lump.
You're just the thing that drinks this breath. That Santa ain't no chump. So off they flew, and before he knew, Joel was in a sack. He cried and yelled to Santa Claus, why don't we just go back? And then came Christmas morning, and much to Joel's surprise, He saw a boy with the saddest face, and tears were in his eyes.
Tears were in his eyes.
He picked her up and held him. He said, "You can be my friend."
Hey man, that's your friend.
I would have liked some presents, but you're what Santa chose to send.
Santa chose to send.
It's true, I've been a naughty boy, and maybe that's a sin.
Maybe that's a sin.
But if this is how Santa treats the kids, I'm just glad that I'm not him. Joel, Joel, the lump of coal, knew what he must do. He said, "Now I know the reason why I got sent to you. 'Cause when a person hurts inside, it turns him hard and cruel. But I know how to make your pain into a precious jewel. So take me in your hand, young man, and squeeze with all your might. Let's turn your pain and anger into something that shines bright." Joel, Joel, the lump of coal, he gave his life away, so that one good naughty little boy got a diamond on Christmas Day.
Dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the tree tops glisten and children listen. Snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. With every Christmas card I write, may your days be
roasting on an open fire, hot sauce dripping from their toes. white squirrels, fresh filleted by the choir. They poked hot skewers through their nose. Everybody knows some pepper and a garlic clove help to make them season right. Tiny rats with a crisp golden coat will really hit the spot tonight. And now when Santa sees his train, there'll be some homemade chipmunk jerky for his sleigh. And every hungry child is gonna spy. So I'm brushing on some honey glaze to keep them crisp and juicy too. Let's hope they get served many times, many ways, tasty chipmunk.
Mommy, beans for dinner? No, I ate them all. Said, come get your coat on, going to the mall. I'm gonna visit Santa and sit upon his knee. But all that I could think about was how not to cut the cheese. Waiting there for Santa, I felt that I'd explode. The gas bubble grew bigger with every ho, ho, ho. Tried my best to hide it, that I was doing swell. But when I sat down on Santa's lap, he hollered, what's that smell?
I put it on Santa's lap.
Baseball, I asked him for a bat. I asked him for some ice skates, but I'll get none of that. I asked him for a lot of things I'll have to do without. So when I sat down on Santa's lap, I let one slip out.
I put it on Santa's lap. That was nice, it's gonna stick for me. I put it on Santa's lap. Now I'll get Christmas.
I snuck out of my bed without a sound. I went down to the living room just to take a look around. But then I saw Santa next to the Christmas tree. His arms were full of presents, and they were all for me. Put them on a pile, got up to turn around. Then blew a fart with such great force our tree almost came down. So I'll always cherish that special moment then. I realize even old Saint Nick whips one now and then.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and with his parents and siblings fast asleep in their beds, little Timmy decided to sneak downstairs and open his presents early. He was filled with excitement as he began to open everything. But when he finally got to his own present, Timmy was left looking down at a cold, hard lump of coal. The room went cold, and he could hear the rattling of chains behind him. This year there would be no visit from Santa. For those who misbehave will only be greeted by the shadow of Saint Nicholas, the demon of Christmas. Krampus!" To many of us, Christmas means a time of joy, togetherness and family. But if we're being honest, as kids it also meant no school and a bunch of presents. There are those, however, unfortunate enough to experience the dark side of Christmas. Those who never got their visit from Santa. misbehave and you'll be on Santa's naughty list. But what if that list was more than just misbehaving children? What if that list was intended for someone else? There's nothing like tales of a demon who drowns, eats, and drags children off to hell to really get you into the Christmas mood. Jokes aside, Krampus is one of my personal favourites. Stories of Krampus have appeared throughout Central Europe as far back as pre-Christian Alpine tradition. This area covers a host of countries from Austria, Germany, and Switzerland to parts of France, northern Italy, the Czech Republic, and Slovenia. Modern tales depict him as the not-so-friendly companion of Saint Nicholas or Santa Claus, who punishes the poorly behaved while Saint Nicholas rewards those who have been good. However, it may not have always been that way. When discussing Krampus, there are two distinct periods of time that give us entirely different stories. The initial period of pagan tradition, and then the period after of Christian tradition. We honestly don't know much about his earliest origin because most pagan traditions were either forgotten or absorbed into Christian traditions. The most common belief is that Krampus may have originated from a horn deity. And we know this extends further than just pagan beliefs because horn gods have existed in multiple cultures across the world. There is a similarity between Krampus and the ancient Greek satyr, both being quite rowdy and mischievous, but one is clearly more evil than the other. In Old High German, the word Krampen meant claw, which could refer to a clawed monster, but just like everything else surrounding his origins, it's all pretty ambiguous. The closest connection we can draw between Krampus pre- and post-Christian Alpine traditions are pagan festivals that took place during the winter, similar to Yule or winter solstice. During these festivals, men would dress up in masks and animal furs and parade around villages being a nuisance, which is something they still do today, but we'll get into that a little bit later. So far, there's not been much to suggest that Krampus ever had anything to do with Christmas or Santa Claus, other than appearing at a similar time in the year. In both Austria and Germany, it wasn't uncommon for individuals to wear a devilish mask and make a nuisance of themselves during holidays which honoured Christian saints. This wasn't done as a tradition honouring Krampus, more so a pushback against the church, which had been phasing out these pagan beliefs and traditions. You can, however, make the argument that this would be the start of what we would see in the years that followed. If we go even further back, the closest thing we have to an origin for Krampus comes from a figure known in Austria as Perchta. She was mentioned very briefly by the Brothers Grimm, and the best way I can describe her is as a combination of Santa Claus and Krampus. Rather than having the concept of good and evil shown by two separate entities, Perchta represented both the reward and the punishment. Around midwinter, during what we would refer to as the 12 days of Christmas or the Feast of the Epiphany, she would visit the homes of children. If they were good, then they would find a silver coin in one of their shoes the next morning. Sounds a lot like Saint Nicholas, right? No. Because if they were bad, she would slit open their bellies, remove their stomach and guts, and fill the cavity with straw and pebbles, before sewing it shut again. This also extended to anyone who ate anything other than meat, fish, or gruel during the day of her festival. To symbolize this duality, she appeared as a beautiful woman dressed in white, and other times as a withered old hag. Accompanying her were a group of spirits known as the Perchten, who just like Perchta also appeared in two different forms. The beautiful Perchten who brought with them good fortune, and the ugly Perchten who had fangs, tusks and horse tails, not too different from Krampus himself. The ugly Perchten were used to ward off spirits and demons in one's home, similar to Halloween but in December. This led to men dressing up as these ugly Perchten and going from house to house driving out evil spirits, in what was known as the Perchten Lauf, or the Perchten Run. The church then seeing these celebrations as a demonstration of immoral behaviour tried to stop these runs from taking place, but many Austrian villages just refused to comply, whilst others chose to dress someone up as Saint Nicholas to accompany them on these runs as somewhat of a compromise. Around the 11th century, stories of Saint Nicholas began to gain popularity, and this continued until the 16th century, where the form of Krampus that we know today really began to manifest. The church, still locked in a battle with the Austrian people over the Pirktan, decided to just outright ban the Pirktanlauf. Not willing to give up entirely, the people then created a new creature, similar to the Pirktan in appearance, but with a few key changes. This creature would now serve St. Nicholas, and would be known as Krampus, a hairy, horned and hooved demonic figure, with sharp fangs, long claws and an even longer tongue. At this point in time, he wasn't considered the only one of his kind. The Krampus referred to a race of monsters that appeared during the Yule period. During this period, Christians would celebrate St. Nicholas. December 6 was known as St. Nicholas Day. Much like modern-day Christmas, St. Nicholas would deliver presents to those who had been good. Those who were not so good would get either a lump of coal or a twig. To the church, the idea of these Krampus figures was still a symbol of heathenism, and so they decided to assimilate this belief into their own existing winter ceremonies. Krampus was then paired with St. Nicholas. One symbolized good, and the other evil. He would then become associated with the idea of the Christian devil. He was given chains to symbolize the binding of the devil by the church. He now carried around birch sticks that he would use to beat misbehaving children with. On his back, he had a basket or a sack that he would throw those naughty children in when dragging them off to hell. If you were extremely poorly behaved, you may even be drowned or eaten. The night before St. Nicholas Day now became Krampusnacht, meaning Krampus Night. December 5th was the day this demon was allowed to roam the streets and villages. It was no longer St. Nicholas giving you a twig or a lump of coal. He was only concerned with the good children. The punishment of the rest fell to Krampus. It was fairly common for the church to integrate ideas and traditions from other cultures into their own when attempting to convert those from a different faith. And it does make sense. Just turning up on someone's doorstep and telling them to stop believing in what they do because they're going to hell normally elicits a negative reaction. Instead, showing them that there is a common ground in your beliefs is much more effective. In this case, it was more so the Austrian people who adapted their beliefs into something more palatable to the church. And so the story of St. Nicholas and Krampus is a good example of how a heathen belief was integrated, despite the major differences. The tradition of St. Nicholas Day went through quite a major shift as a result of this. Going from St. Nicholas leaving you a twig if you were poorly behaved to being dragged off to hell by this giant demon goat monster. But if you were lucky, maybe you'd just be eaten or drowned in a lake. Quite the tonal shift. By the 16th century, stories of St. Nicholas began to be replaced. He now became Santa Claus, deriving from his Dutch name Sinterklaas, or Father Christmas if you live in the UK. Stories of Krampus remain largely the same, and December 5th was still considered Krampus Night in many countries. With Christmas being celebrated on the 25th, it's only natural to then want to move Krampus Night to Christmas Eve for those outside of the Alpine region, and that's why you may see this in various stories and movies, despite these celebrations and festivals taking place in early December. These celebrations can vary depending on the region. They often involve wearing a wooden mask, dressing up in fur, and attempting to look as terrifying as possible. In some towns, it's more humorous, and in others, it's slightly more scary, but it's all mostly done in good fun. The most popular of these traditions is the Krampuslauf, or the Krampus Run, which is essentially the same as the Pirktanlauf. Groups of people dress up as Krampus wearing large bells so they can be heard as they roam the streets in packs accompanied by a St. Nicholas. What exactly they do depends on how they're feeling. Some just scare children and passers-by, some throw snow at them, and others whip them around the back of the leg. Then you have those who visit houses giving presents, and in exchange they're given schnapps and brandy. So it's pretty much just adult trick-or-treating. And it's also a pretty good excuse to walk around being a massive douche for a day. In parts of Austria, twigs would be painted gold and left around the house all year round as a reminder for children to behave. In the 1800s, Krampus could be found on greeting cards, postcards, and on the wrappers of candy, These depictions were rather odd and often quite distasteful. They feature Krampus as a more devilish figure with a sexual undertone. And this stems from those in large cities never really seeing these traditions. All they had to go by was the word of the church, who equated Krampus to the devil. In terms of his story, these images do make sense. But it's not hard to imagine why some wouldn't find them suitable. It's also why over the years they've gone from frightening to more comical, in order to appeal to a larger audience. What's nice to see is that these festivals and Krampus runs still take place today, and not just in towns and cities within Austria and Germany, but all around the world, even popping up in parts of North America. There's no doubt that stories of Krampus and those predating him have a dark tone to them, but to say that he's just evil doesn't really tell the whole story. Before they were Christianized, the Pirktons served as protective spirits, and Krampus only really came to as St. Nicholas's companion as a way to keep these traditions alive. Even then, he merely punishes those who were deemed as deserving. He doesn't commit acts of evil against the innocent, and therefore he can be seen as representing a necessary evil. For many, this whole spectacle was and still is a time of fun and expression. Even today, families take their children to these events and festivals. To them, Krampus is more of a Disney villain than a terrifying demonic story. To me, Krampus and Saint Nicholas represent our very own nature. We can be good, and we can be evil. But in order for society to function, you need incentive for the good, and you need consequence for the bad, even if that is in the form of a hairy demonic goat monster.
It's Christmas time, there's always much to do. I'd rather spend my time and be with you. I'm overcome with fear and sadness. Baby, save me from this madness. By doing something I would like to do. Let's not go shopping when cars start stopping. Outside it's snowing and 10 below. It's better warming by the fireside where Yuletide candle glow. I don't want to hear those tell bells ringing. No, 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 we don't need shopping. It gets me hopping. We could be bopping with old King Cole. Instead of trudging through the ice and snow, we'll close the drapes and knock all the doors and leave that shopping to Mr. Claus. Just not venture to shopping centers. No retail tension, no stress or strife. We'll kick on back with nothing else to do. Give staying home a round of applause. Let's not go shopping, just hang your stocking.
For once in your life, make it matter. For once in your life, let it be. Why don't you hand it all over and sing it out loudly with me? Soon we will all be forgotten, but while we're all still here on earth, sing about love and forget about loss and shout for whatever you're worth. Come on, spread the word. Doesn't everyone hurt? Do you remember the good old days when all the children would cheer? Get together, and Dad, he provides what he can. They've been saving up forever and ever and ever just to do it all over again. Got me dreaming of home, fills my heart full of hope. Do you remember the good old days when all
try. know where you are. I know you found love and you deserved it. I was just a kid, but I know what I did. I ask for forgiveness if I'm worth it.
We drank into the morning light like we were never going home. And we sang a song a million sing, just like we scored a goal. I must have made promises I couldn't keep, but if you trust a fool, then a fool you will be. But I looked into your eyes and sold you a dream. Then we fled the scene where we met on Christmas Eve. Da-da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da, where we met on Christmas Eve.
Radio Free Northwest is brought to you by the Northwest Front, P.O. Box 2188, Bremerton, Washington, 98310. You can visit the party on our website at www.northwestfront.org. Until next time, comrades, hail victory.
Still is beating heart in my heart's burning new.